This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Good day and welcome. And this is my last segment on the file system. And there's a new thing out there, and I'm really not so new, but it's called BTRFS. And it's been a pretty big thing. You know, it was supposed to be a really big deal. And the commercial Linux distributors were supposed to have it as the default system. Unfortunately, somehow XFS has come back and sort of pushed BTRFS out of the commercial realm and back into the hobby realm. So it's a new copy on write or CWO file system for Linux aimed at implementing advanced features while focusing on fault tolerance, repair, and easy administration. It's been jointly developed by a number of companies, SUSE, HP, Red Hat, lots of different companies. BTFRS is licensed under GPL and open for contribution from anyone. Not too many companies have said that they are using BTRFS in production, but we welcome those who can say they are production users on a following page. Okay, and so when I went to the wiki, it says B-Tree file system, variously pronounced. It has lots of names, so it's called ButterFS, and that's what I heard on the Linux Action Show when they talked about it, or BetterFS, or B-Tree-FS, or simply B-Tree-R-E-F-S. And again, it's GPL, license, experimental, copy-on-write file system for Linux. Okay, and of all places, guys, for all these Oracle haters out there, it started with Oracle in 2007. So, and it's still heavily development and marked as unstable, especially when the file system becomes full. No space conditions arise, which make it challenging to delete files. BTFRS is intended to address the lack of pooling, snapshots, checksums, and integral multi-device spanning list of systems. So, question, why would you use BTRFS if the free ZFS is available now? That's just, you know. It allows to scale upward to larger file systems in the enterprise. Chris Mason is the principal BTRFS author, and he's done a lot of work in it. I really wish that I could talk to him about why it's great and the differences between it and ZFS and XFS, but I don't know if I'll ever find him. I'll have to Google him and see if he'll do an interview with me. As a stated goal to let Linux scale, the stated goal was to let Linux scale for the storage that will be available. So that's what the stated goal was, to let Linux scale for the storage that will be available. Scaling is not just about addressing the storage, but also means being able to administer and manage it with a clean interface that lets people see what's being used and makes it more reliable. In 2008, the principal developer of XT3 and XT4 file systems his name is Theodore Tiso, stated that although XT4 has improved features, it's not a major advance. It uses old technology and is stopgap. TSO believes that BTRFS is the better direction because it offers improvements in scalability, reliability, and ease of management. BTRFS also has a number of design ideas that were used in Riser 3 and Riser 4. Okay, I've used BTRFS in Fedora one time, and it was okay. In the enterprise commercial space, I'm not sure why I would use it if I could use XFS or if I could use the ZFS for a Linux option. All right, hey, so this concludes my series. I hope that y'all enjoyed it. I really like to have these short features. You know, I listen to a variety of podcasts, not very many of them, you know, go out and look at something and make it short and try to be concise with it. For instance, if you listen to the Linux Outlaws, you have to go into it for almost an hour before you figure out what's going on in the podcast if you want to listen to it. Same thing with if you, you know, listen to Dan Washko and all those at the the weekly podcast that's been on for 5 years. It's not really a concise thing, so they don't say what they're going to talk about at the beginning of it. So it's more of a like a meeting between friends, and they talk about beer or, you know, whatever. And I'm sure that sometimes this is interesting, but if you're really wanting to look at something, I'm not sure really that there's that many formats. I mean, sometimes if you listen to the guy at Stonehenge.com that does Floss Weekly, you know within a minute or two if it's interesting for you. So I'm more in that camp to try to tell you up front what I'm going to do. And then if you're not interested, you know, the great thing about podcasts is you just click the next button. All right. Hey, if you have any questions or anything, you can reach me at jwp5@hotmail.com. I really appreciate your time, and any feedback you might have, it'd be more than welcome. All right. Hey, thank you very much. Bye now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.